Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
We are back. I am John Perk, Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph. Live in the studio with me is
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple.
Along with Pastor Barry Freeze, Blue Ridge Boulevard, United Methodist Church. Remember to call us, 576-7710.
And we have a caller who has called that number. Great. And we are along with right now.
Hello?
Bob?
Yes, good morning.
Bob Hill.
Oh, my God.
Well, good to be with you all. I'm glad that you all could be there. It's fortuitous. Had a kind of rough night, either, you know, it's sinuses and the weather or whatever, but just could not stop the flow. Had a rough night, had to get some medicine. So, anyway, glad you all are there.
Well, thank you. It's it must be going around. I had a dose of that, but I'm still, you know, finishing up, and it was pretty wild there for a couple of days. And you have thoughts and prayers for healing.
Yeah. Well, glad that you all are there, and how are you all doing?
Well, we're learning about Reformed Judaism and the Method and Methodism. And, of course, your favorite topic, the quadrilateral?
Uh-huh. Love it. Yeah, we talked a little bit about that last week and lifted it up, and then for some reason we didn't say it with the right accent and had some caller, a caller, that, I don't know, went off a little bit. Got some good stuff about movies, by the way, and I can't stay on for very long, but would just lift up a couple of things. The AFI, American Film Institute, you can go online and see the movies, and in the top 35, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them are R-rated. And some of them would be very, very, probably not, you'd have to explain it to your children about what they're seeing. Something like, you don't show probably To Kill a Mockingbird to a six-year-old, although it could be done. On the waterfront, it's not R-rated, but that probably would require some prefacing and some explanation. So, and Citizen Kane is, frequently appears at the top of all those lists, but
Is Sound of Music on the list?
Sound of Music is not. You know, it's not regarded as a great movie. It's regarded as a great musical, but it's not a great movie per se. I don't know whether it's in the top 100. It may be, but in this.
So these are dramas.
Well, there's some musicals. Singing in the Rain is number 5, and it's a great musical. The Wizard of Oz, number 10. But things like The Searchers, it's number 12 of all time. That's one of the greatest movies about race prejudice, I think.
So what are you going to do today? You're going to get well? You still going to preach?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to preach. Got to get up to the 3 services at community, and I'm well enough to do that, absolutely. We've got some new members to welcome into the fold, and one of my favorite texts of all time, the 23rd Psalm, and really, really looking forward to that. Also, John, you were there last week, and we had a little bit of contretemps about a poem I read. Unbelievable. It's been bandied about. It's been replicated. It's been published. It's been carried about on the internet far and wide, and mostly it receives accolades, but to some callers it was not as doctrinaire as it should be, and it was interesting. I think with regard to some people, you really do have to be always on to a propositional kind of proclamation and can't ever have dialogue. But I come from a congregation that had even Sinclair Lewis dare God to strike him dead in the pulpit, and therefore he was going to use that as a very shallow way of proving that God didn't exist. It's a long, this is before my watch, okay? But a long, long time ago. And I suppose that'd be further evidence of my non-doctrinal or my doctrinal impurity or something. But we'll see.
Well, we'll forgive you because we've been talking about repentance and forgiveness this morning and the different traditions. And we've also been talking about, well, what happens if you offend someone and you're not even aware you offended them? Does the person have the responsibility to come forward and say, you know, you may not have realized this, but you did offend me, and that was Rabbi Lundy's tradition.
Ah, I'd like that. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know that you've erred, it you know, a brother or sister in the community is. It behooves them to tell you, I think, yeah.
And it's a biblical idea. You know, it's not just the idea that God functioned in this world to point out our iniquities. You know, if we live in a holy community, we have commitments to each other. And one of the commitments is to find a gentle, appropriate way to point out each other's flaws. The thing in Judaism that's really important is you never do it in such a way that that it would be embarrassing to another person, or you don't do it if you know it isn't going to be received. The goal is not just to get it off your chest. The goal is to be a positive force in another person's life to make them aware of areas where maybe they can fix something, or areas where they might have not seen their flaws. So it's one thing to bring something to someone's attention, but it has to be done in an incredibly gentle, thoughtful way.
And humble way.
Yeah, in a humble way. It can never be out of, you know, I'm trying to get back at that person. It's just the other way. I love you so much that... I want you to be better.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, thanks for calling, because I know being the co-host on this show for, what now, 20 and a half years, going on 21, people are probably wondering, where's Bob? Where's Michael?
We'll both be back in the studio next Sunday. Michael will be in the studio next Sunday.
And Michael is traveling where?
I don't know. I just knew that, you know, he said he wasn't going to be on, and I would assume it has something to do with grandkids.
Yes, it probably does.
That's either grandkids or a speaking gig.
Okay, Bob, you get well. And,
one more shout out. I will, and I'm getting well on the way to the pulpit of community. One more shout out. Moore Squared's 10th anniversary was this last Friday night in a very sweet service hosted by Congregation Kol Ami that was situated within All Souls Unitarian Church.
And who was the speaker?
Doug Halpert, the rabbi, spoke a little bit of a homiletical word, but we did a lot of hooping and hollering because we had five new congregations and one new ally organization to welcome into Moore Square's fold, and it was a good thing.
And how many congregations are now in Moore Square?
24.
24. All right, Bob.
All right. Take care, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye.
You will.
And with that, we'll take one of our soft breaks, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
CRO, Kansas City's home of Michael Savage.
They've confused sexual liberation with far more important liberations, and that's a great, great scam in order to imprison an entire generation, which is to turn them all into sexually promiscuous beings and then tell them to do whatever they want and let them think they're free. And then to hobble them with socialism.
The Savage Nation. Weekdays 2 till 5 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing superior service and attention to detail for over 20 years. KansasCityDoor.com.
A couple of weeks ago, we had some friends over outside grilling, enjoying the weather with the kids outside playing. Soon, the subject turned to our neighbor's new siding installed on their home. It didn't take long for the subject to turn to our home, and as I looked around my house, I realized I definitely needed to do something, as our friend so eloquently pointed out. Definitely a little embarrassing. Well, nonetheless, I started the dreaded process of talking with companies and getting estimates. I soon found out that all siding isn't created equal. My friends at Amazing Siding have a very unique product. Their acrylic siding looked better, felt stronger, their insulation thicker, more energy efficient, and their warranty was just unbelievable. After doing my due diligence, it was a no-brainer. But don't take my word for it. Just give Amazing Siding a call and see for yourself. Some of the best discounts of the year are going on right now with great financing options. Don't let your home suffer through another brutal winter. Call Amazing Siding and Infinity from Marvin at 913-661-0900 or on the web at AmazingSidingKC.com.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp, host of the KCMO Morning Show, and I'm with Chris Butler, Portfolio Manager with Butler, Lance, and Wagler, and host of Capitalist Pigs. Chris, I know you've recently collaborated with a hedge fund consultant to develop an investment strategy you call an all-weather approach. Now, what does that mean?
That's a great question, Greg. An all-weather investment approach is a way to navigate in any economic environment, both bull markets and bear, boom and bust. It incorporates strategies that hedge funds have employed for decades, previously only open to the very wealthy. We can now employ those same strategies for the average investor.
That sounds really interesting to me. Now, why is this timely now?
Well, first, the number of boom-bust cycles is likely going to intensify in the future. And second, statistically, current stock market valuations don't bode well for returns over the next 10 years. So investors need a strategy for this landscape.
All right. So how can listeners learn more about this all-weather approach?
Well, they can go to investontrack.com and download that free report. Again, that's investontrack.com.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
If only I had a big test today.
Or a book report to give.
Give me a math quiz.
Give me some homework.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I'll keep my desk real clean.
So they can stop worrying about food and start focusing on fun.
I'll do extra homework.
I'll clean the class pet's cage.
I'll skip recess.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
School might end, but free lunches don't have to. Find your local Feeding America food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America.
Contact Harvesters, the Community Food Network, at 211. That's 211. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're the type who likes to seize the day, all 30 of them, during Member September. All month long, almost anything you get at Rite Aid gets you three times the Wellness Plus points, which gets you to gold and 20% off almost everything in the store three times faster. Yep, the best program in the business is now even better, by three, but only during Member September and only at Rite Aid. Activate your membership at memberseptember.com today. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Limitations apply. Prescriptions ineligible for triple points. See store for details.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is only going to get worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help at 1-800-334-5070. Our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. And we have an A-plus rating with the BBB. So get protected. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 1-800-334-5070.
KCMO Talk Radio is Michael Savage.
Let me prove you wrong.
Weekdays 2 till 5 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
And we are back, and you are listening to Religion on the Line at KCMO Talk Radio 710 and on your FM dial at 103.7. I am Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along in the studio with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
Along with Pastor Barry Fleas of BlueRidgeChurch.org.
Barry, going back to the quadrilateral of Scripture, Tradition, Reason, and Experience, when scriptures are used for prayer, is there a tradition of meditation or contemplation or a way of reading the scriptures, a development, a process in the Methodist tradition?
I don't know of one that's exclusive to Methodism. You know, the first one that comes to mind is Lectio Divina.
And explain that for our listeners.
Well, it's the Holy Word, or reading the Word. Lectio is a similar root as lecture. I think the focus is really just to pay attention, to listen to God as you read and study and see what happens. You know, is there a word that jumps off the page at you? Is there a word or a phrase that bothers you, puts a burr in your saddle? And, you know, it's not the paper, it's not the translation, in my opinion. It's the way of the Spirit, the way God works while encountering the Scriptures. And that's really what you need to listen for. A simple phrase would be, intend to attend to God. So your intention is to pay attention to God.
And so in the reading of the Scriptures, like you just said, there seems to be some kind of a word that just kind of pierces the heart. I remember almost 40 years ago, I was in this clinic, and my boss had this little sign that said, God is greater than any problem I have. And I would sit there and look at that sign, and it seemed like the word problem would jump out a lot. And then over a period of a few years, as I became a little bit more religious, the word God would jump out and be more prominent. Even though it was the same sign, the little sign was speaking to me in a different way, with a little bit more emphasis on God rather than on the problem. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'm curious, Alan and John, if either of you have been watching the latest offering from Ken Burns, talking about the Roosevelts.
Alan was just brought that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we were just talking about it.
Okay, well, how'd the conversation go? I'm finding it fascinating. I'm very fortunate. My wife saw it and set it to record, so I'm enjoying that very much.
I think it's an extraordinary saga. I mean, first of all, the level of public service that was ingrained in these people is remarkable. Here, these people were part of, obviously, the elite of our nation, and yet, from the very beginning, it was drilled in them that they were here not just to live off their wealth and to enjoy their lives, but to do everything they can to enter this world and commit themselves to this country. And first of all, I think that in and of itself is such a model of citizenship. You know, I think there's this idea in American culture, citizenship is just sitting back and waiting for other people to do things. That was the antithesis of the Roosevelts. And second of all is, here are people individually who suffered so much individual family pain, the loss of loved ones, physical illness, and yet
mental illness too.
Mental illness, but the triumph over that to do great things. What an inspiration! You know, when I think about the High Holidays and the whole notion of being able to get beyond oneself and to transform oneself. That's to me what is so remarkable about them, let alone the problems that they faced and the ability that they had to confront them. You know, we're now into the Franklin Roosevelt part of it, and what an extraordinary man, clearly a flawed man, as we all are, but the ability to respond to the complexities of this world and to do it with good humor, but with determination, in a sense that, and it doesn't say that somehow I believe he thought that he was somehow selected, whatever that meant to him, to do great things. And I don't care what your political instincts are. He saved our country, might have saved the world. And he did it living within a life that had its own pain and suffering. I think it's a tremendous document that has been created. It's long, so sometimes it might get out of focus. But there's so much good stuff there.
It really is. I had never heard the quote attributed to him when someone asked him how his presidency would be viewed. He said, well, if we don't, and I'm paraphrasing, if we don't get this right, I'll be the last president.
Yes.
And I think you could make the argument that you've made that he, some say that he saved the country. And it's interesting. I find interesting the shifting tides and sands of politics and who opposed him at certain points and all that background that we get along the way that makes it such a rich story.
Yeah, I mean, the level of opposition that he had on so many things, but he had a way. I mean, it's hard to put it into words. And then the extraordinary and complicated partnership between Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt is another dimension of this. Obviously a complicated marriage, but what an extraordinary woman that she was and her and what strikes me is her power was her authenticity, in a sense.
Yes.
Is that when she spoke, people listened, not just because of her eloquence, but because they knew this was the real thing, that when she spoke, it was coming deeply from within her soul. Incredible people.
Yeah, she had this suffering within her soul, and he had this suffering within his body on the outside. And to me, what was so amazing is that he pulled all that off in a pre-media television age where I don't think it could have been pulled. I don't think you could pull that off anymore with this media on you all
the time. And what's amazing is these people were able to carve out private lives. They would go take the car and go out.
That was something, a month-long road trip with no Secret Service. She promised to take a gun but didn't bring any ammo.
A different world.
And what touched me the little bit that I saw was the time that he would spend with the crippled children down in Hot Springs or Georgia somewhere, where he founded this polio therapy camp.
Yes.
And he gave so much hope, showing the children how that they're not limited by their physical disabilities, but that there's something even inside that makes them stronger and more capable. Well, you hear that music, that's one of our hard breaks. We'll be back. You can call. Continue the conversation with us by calling 576-7710 or email us at 576-7710@gmail.com.
Are you starting your day with the KCMO Morning Show and Greg Knapp?
I think it's great to have your kids with you on the weekend and do things. But the difference is doing things with them like going on a bike ride, doing things with them like going to the park, doing things with them like taking them out to dinner, not doing things for them. You think you're being nice, you're not.
Greg Knapp, mornings 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
For a successful early morning launch of a cargo ship heading to the International Space Station with 5,000 pounds of supplies.
The Falcon 9 launch vehicle going through the constellation Orion this morning. It was a beautiful sight.
NASA's ISS Division Director Sam Shimemi. Coming up tonight, NASA's Maven spacecraft on track to get to Mars following a 10-month, 442-million-mile journey. The search continuing in northeast Pennsylvania for Eric Freen, suspected of shooting and killing one state trooper and wounding another. One of Freen's neighbors is shocked.
We all moved into the development together. We grew up together. We went to school together. We cried, laughed together. No, we can't hardly believe it.
The search now narrowed to the area where Freen lived with his parents. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Just a spectacular morning and midday time frame. Hey, do me a favor, grab a pair of sunglasses on the way out the door. Sunshine giving way to a little bit of afternoon cloud cover. We're up at 75 degrees. Clear and starlit tonight, low 52. 75 again tomorrow with the aid of sunshine, and we'll revisit the middle 70s again on Tuesday, although we'll tone it down to a partly sunny sky. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Jim Kosick. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Hi, Rick Edelman here. Recently, I asked if you have a great financial advisor. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know how to hire one? Here are the top three questions to ask when hiring a financial planner. What are the services they provide? What kind of clients do they work with? And how are they compensated? You want an advisor who offers the services you need, who has clients just like you, and they charge a fee for their service, not commissions for selling products to you. Financial success these days isn't achieved by picking the right investments, but by picking the right investment advisor. Learn how to hire a great, award-winning advisor by getting the 18 questions to ask at rickedelman.com or just call us at Edelman Financial Services, 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Advisory services offered through Edelman Financial Services, LLC. Securities offered through Sanders Morris Harris, Inc., an affiliated broker-dealer. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You can't buy a best friend. You can love them, walk them, pet them, and care for them, whether they want you to or not. You can take a picture or 50. You can fly to the moon, travel the world, or just stay in bed. You can't buy a best friend like that, but you can adopt one. There are millions of pets waiting for a best friend just like you. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before. You heard it on the radio. Only the radio. Hi, I'm Mitch Holtis, telling you that if you want your customers to remember your business in a similar way, go to cumulusradio.com to learn how. You're listening right now, and so are your customers. In fact, this Cumulus Media radio station has enough potential customers listening to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. Go to cumulusradio.com today and build your business. Change your business with radio.
KCMO Talk Radio 710 and now 103.7 FM. News never stops. That's why we've got you covered 24/7 with Fox News Radio on KCMO.
Good morning. You are listening to Religion on the Line, the longest talk religion radio show in the city. I am Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, in the studio with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple, along with
Pastor Barry Fries, Blue Ridge Boulevard, United Methodist Church.
And Barry, we were talking about Scripture and how one approaches it. Off the air, I was talking with Alan that it's been a theme of mine lately here to inspire people to... In other words, when does a person realize that they've arrived at some kind of integrated goal in their life? And so I've been trying to the message I've been out there trying to give, since this was the feast this past week of St. Robert Bellarmine, a Jesuit cardinal in, I don't know, the 1600s, he talked about how thought, word, and deed is an icon, at least for us Catholics, as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that our thoughts are basically invisible, like God is invisible, but his thought becomes audible when through the Word, and Jesus for us is called the Word. And then when we act on the Word, we We make visible the invisible realities as we're powered by the Holy Spirit. And so for a Catholic spirituality that I'm trying to get across to people is that when we have this integration of that, what we're thinking, what we're saying, and what we're doing is all united with the objective truth of God himself. And how do we get to that objective truth? How do we fill the intellect with his word? Well, it would be through reading, meditation, or contemplation using the scriptures. And Alan said that he has something that he wants to share on that meditation and contemplation of the scriptures.
We Jews are the Am HaSefer. We are the nation of the book. And central to everything that we do is study not only of scripture, of the Hebrew Bible, but also a vast array of rabbinic literature that began in the second century after the destruction of the temple, continuing all the way through to our time. And therefore, the sacred obligation to study Torah, that's the way to describe it, is central to Jewish life. In fact, there's an expression in Hebrew, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the study of Torah, the study of Scripture is greater than all the other commandments. Now, so on a regular basis, part of our liturgical experience, especially on the Sabbath, we read publicly from the Torah. But it's much more than that, because Jews are obligated to study the Torah on a continuous basis. And one of the things that Judaism suggests, and I think it's different than some of the Christian denominations, is that we don't study the Torah just through the Torah. We study it through the wisdom and creativity of commentaries and commentators who have, over the years, added additional meaning to the Torah. And the whole goal of Jewish life is to continue to add new meaning to the Torah. See, there's an interesting idea in Judaism. On the one hand, we have the idea of what's called Matan Torah, the gift of the Torah, that, you know, that somehow this scripture becomes part of the Jewish people, and ultimately the Jewish people share it with the world. On the other hand, there's an idea of Kabbalat Torah, the receiving of the Torah. So in Judaism, there's a tremendous amount of human creativity and interpretation that comes into the study of the Torah. And finally, the idea that's so compelling to me is there's no definitive understanding of the Torah. Anyone who believes that they fully understand the meaning of a specific verse, chapter, whatever, they're not reflecting the essence of Judaism, which is humility before God. None of us are God, therefore none of us can come to the perfect understanding of Scripture, and therefore there's built into Jewish tradition a certain level of acceptance, because by the very nature of how we study Torah, there has to be an acceptance of pluralism. In other words, different people will understand Scripture differently. And that's part of the glory of God's creation. If we're all different, if we're all unique, our understanding of Scripture will be different. So what unites us as Jews is not one specific interpretation of a specific part of the Torah, but the very commitment that we are a faith community that surrounds the Torah and is dedicated to the Torah. So the act of study, the act of interpretation, is the sacred activity that brings us connection with God.
Now, you also would, I divided thought, word, and deed into three areas. It's my understanding when I talked to Rabbi Michael Zedek that for the Jewish tradition, it's more about the heart, and it's not really a division of these faculties. Is that correct or not?
I'm not sure where he's going with that.
Okay.
In
the past, I've asked him about the memory, intellect, and will, and how in Catholic spirituality, the intellect is seen as being purified by faith, the memory by hope, and the will by love. And we have this Trinitarian triangle of faith, hope, and love, which brings us to this communion with God. This is our path. This is our method of coming to union with God through these theological virtues that God gives us, faith, hope, and love. And they specifically purify those three faculties. But in a Jewish tradition, it's my sense from Rabbi Zedek that the person is just seen as what's in the heart, and there isn't this subdivision of intellect, memory, and will.
I would add obligation, too. I mean, the whole notion in Jewish tradition is that there is a power, a force, God, however you want to describe that power that is greater than us, that makes demands on human beings to do certain things. Sometimes you understand what you're asked to do. Sometimes you don't fully grasp it. But the recognition is that by being part of the Jewish people, by being part of a covenant between God and the Jewish people, that you have certain obligations. And to take it even further, you're obligated to do more than you understand so that in the end you understand more. In other words, in Judaism, we don't wait for understanding. We don't necessarily wait for the heart to move us. We believe that life is about obligation. I'll give you a very simple example. The Torah says, Ki budava aim, you are called upon to honor your mother and father. And no matter what your feelings are, whether you feel real positive feelings towards your parents or not, it doesn't really matter. We don't wait for our heart to motivate us to do the commandment. We have an absolute obligation, regardless of our feelings, to honor our mothers and fathers, to show them respect, to worry about their well-being, to take care of them. So I would look at it a little differently in the sense that much of Jewish tradition to me is about obligation. The sense is that God wants us to do certain things, and we can't wait for the Spirit to move us. We have to act, and through the act, I think we discover the power of God in our lives. It's not discovering the power of God and then acting. It's the other way around.
Or it could be acting and discovering that the power of God inside of me is moving me to act.
Yes, in other words, yes, exactly. But it's you have to act. There are moments when, regardless of our understanding, regardless of what we're feeling in that given day, we have obligations and we fulfill them because community and a holy community is about obligation.
Now, St. Augustine had a similar phrase he used, that understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe. You have an obligation. This is your faith. This is what God says to do. So do it. And then the understanding will follow.
As we know, Augustine was a very fine, pious Jew, and we are claiming him this morning. It's an interesting dilemma, and that is, do we wait for our heart to move us? Do we wait for the feeling of to being moved by God's power in our lives? Or do we say to ourselves, at any given moment, I'm not sure what I believe. I'm not sure what I'm feeling. But I know that there are holy things that God calls upon me to do.
And we would say that's the description of a just man living by faith. Yes?
Yes.
Barry?
John?
Any input on that one?
I'm struck by the
similarity, really.
by the contrast between having space to have some doubts and still be obliged to take action, and in some threads in American religion, it's really focuses on trying to pump up the folks, the prosperity gospel, or being organizing worship to encourage people or motivate them, and that's, I think that's a different understanding with a kind of a tilt towards a consumer religion versus a religion of understanding and obligation.
I use the phrase a producer religion rather than a consumer religion, and in order for us to continue to be productive here, we have to take a soft break, and we'll take that break and be back.
KCMO Talk Radio, where Kansas City connects with a Dave Ramsey Show.
You have to stop and think about what you're putting your money into. You buy a $35,000 car, the thing's worth $5,000 in 20 seconds. Have you noticed that? And some of you making $50,000 a year are driving around in $50,000 worth of cars. And you ought to have your butt kicked up around your neck and wear it like a collar. I mean, something is wrong with you.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 9 to 11 a.m. on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Now FM at 103.7.
I heard on the news about that 5-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online. For like a year, she couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're the type who likes to seize the day, all 30 of them, during Member September. All month long, almost anything you get at Rite Aid gets you 3 times the Wellness Plus points, which gets you to gold and 20% off almost everything in the store 3 times faster. Yep, the best program in the business is now even better by 3, but only during Member September and only at Rite Aid. Activate your membership at memberseptember.com today. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Limitations apply. Prescriptions ineligible for triple points. See store for details.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is only going to get worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help at 1-800-334-5070. Our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. And we have an A-plus rating with the BBB. So get protected. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 1-800-334-5070.
Greg Knapp.
Coming up Monday on the show, is your child guilty until proven innocent at the school dance? And is Apple Pay going to get rid of cash in America forever? Is that good? KCMO Morning Show.
We are back, and you are listening to Religion on the Line on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and on FM 103.7. I am Deacon John Perk with the Catholic Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, in the studio with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple, along with
Pastor Barry Free of Blue Ridge Boulevard and United Methodist Church.
Rabbi Londi, you mentioned something in the second century with the destruction of the temple. Was there anything lost from the second century in that destruction that is totally lost and was never replaced?
Well, there's never been a rebuilding of the temple. I mean, one of the things that happens in the second century is that once the temple is destroyed by the Romans, Judaism goes through a revolution where the rabbinic sages, a kind of new class of religious leaders, affirm the fact that we don't need a temple. We don't need animal sacrifices. We need to create a holy community that's based on Torah study and the performing of good deeds. So in terms of literature, I don't think texts were lost. In terms of institutions that were never recreated, we lost a lot. Or I wouldn't say lost, Judaism evolved, where Judaism is an evolving tradition. And in a course of 3,000 years of Jewish history, Judaism is an evolutionary tradition. I think that's what's kept it alive, our ability to hold on to fundamental principles and ideals, but also to be able to adjust our religious tradition to the historical realities and the philosophical realities of the world that we Jews have found ourselves in.
And we are you are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, which is the which puts the Jewish calendar at 5,775 years.
Yes.
Since creation. How long since the revelation to Abraham?
We don't look at it that way.
Okay. What would be a rough estimate of that?
Well, Abraham is a late Bronze Age, if you want to use archaeology. So I would say you place Abraham in the second century BCE. In terms of the calendar 5775, you know, the rabbis have this way of figuring out what generation was this, what generation was that. That was based on basically counting generations in the Bible, starting with Adam and Eve. We Jews don't take that as a historical reality. We believe in that the world is millions of years old. The 5775 date is really a biblical, a rabbinic idea about connecting the generations of the Bible. So we Jews live in a lot of different worlds. We live in a world where our calendar is based on certain theological assumptions, but we also live in a modern technological world where we accept the scientific calendar. There's one thing in Judaism that is, for me, very compelling, is that we don't have this conflict between science and religion. That's not one of our problems, because when we study that, when we study Scripture, we clearly recognize that the story of creation is not a story that an astrophysicist would tell. It's a religious story, a theological story that is meant to affirm that the ultimate purpose of creation was to create human beings, because human beings were created in the afternoon of the sixth day. So it's really a story about the centrality of human beings in creation and not meant to be a scientific understanding. And I think so many times in religion, we get into this argument, science versus religion.
Yeah, we're not going to go there.
And now, no, not only we're not going to go there, Judaism doesn't go there. I mean, which is so interesting.
Uh-huh. Well, we have time for one caller here, Steve. Steve, good morning. You want to ask us about Jews and Christmas?
Well, yes, there's something else I would like to ask, too, before I did. The Jewish person there, do they believe the Ten Commandments? I'm pretty sure they do. They're from God. Is that right?
Of course, the Jewish people stood at Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. In the first part of the Revelation were the giving of the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were given to Moses, and they were a writing down of the affirmation that the Jewish people, the Israelites, made to God on Mount Sinai. So the Jews in the biblical history were the first to receive the Ten Commandments.
And so I hate to pin you down on these years, but if Abraham was about 4,000 years ago, that would have been the year 1775. Where does that put Moses receiving the commandments?
John, I don't think you're going to be able to pin him down.
You know, you want me to go into this?
Just approximately.
I'm not giving you an answer.
Okay, so we don't have an answer on that one. I can accept that. I can accept that. I know what we share is we both share that this encounter with the Almighty was through Abraham and Moses, and it's trying to understand how that plays out in each one of our faiths, and because for us Abraham is the father of our faith, just like it is with yours, Barry, also yours too, right?
Yes, oh, of course. Yeah, we're all believers in the one true God, at least on this show here.
I think John just wants to stir up a little trouble here.
No, I'm just I'm a math guy. I'm a chronological guy. I want some boundaries.
It sure sounds like it, Alan.
You know, but you know something? You got to, you know, this is rough work at 6 a.m. in the morning. He's trying to trip, you know, he's trying to make things complicated. And, you know.
Well, you know what? Thank goodness that this brings us to the end of our time together. Because you're not going to answer my question, and I'm going to stop asking it. But you know what? It's been a joy being with you, Rabbi Lunde and Pastor Barry Fries. And you've been listening to Religion on the Line. And I am Deacon John Perk with the Catholic Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Alan Lunde of the New Reformed Temple.
And Pastor Barry Fries, BlueRidgeChurch.org. And together we say,
God bless.